Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I'm delighted to be with you on this Friday Healing Day of Prayer, a day when we take your prayer intentions and lift them up to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you so much and wants you to experience His peace in your hearts. Now, today, we're going to have someone very special, a very special saint, interceding for you for our Healing Day of Prayer, okay, for your intentions. Someone who Pope Pius X called the greatest saint of modern times. Now, I know you're smart, and I think you know who I'm talking about. I think you know who it is. It's Saint Therese of the Child Jesus of the Holy Face. We love Saint Therese, don't we? And we lovingly call her the Little Flower, a name that she picked for herself because she saw herself as just a little flower in God's garden. Now, I have something very special here to show you. Maybe you saw it already. Let me get this over here. And this is a beautiful picture of her. Here, I'm going to take it here. Maybe you could see it better that way, okay? She's in her brown Carmelite habit. It's a beautiful sister holding the crucifix in her arms with roses surrounding the crucifix. Now, for those of you who know her, you know what she looks like. And for those of you who don't, just do a quickie search on your cell phone or your laptop and put in Saint Therese of the Child Jesus or Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, and her picture will come up. Believe me, it will come up. And you may even look at that picture and say, she looks familiar. I think I know who she is. So I also have something very special that's going to be very important when I'm praying for your intentions today. I have it right here. Now, let me get this out. This is special. There we are. Let's put this here. I have for you, this is a first-class relic of Saint Therese. It's a little piece of her bone. And as we pray for your intentions, I will hold this relic toward you, toward all of you on Facebook, and those of you on the radio. And, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit transcends time and space. And so this will go forth for all of you. This relic is very old. It's from France, where Saint Therese lived and died at the age of 24. So I'll hold that up, and we'll pray for that intention through her intercession. And how wonderful to have this first-class relic here. It's a beautiful witness surrounding my family, and I'll share it with you. I've never shared it really before, but I'm going to share it with you this time after we pray, after we do our opening prayer, okay? So I'll leave this here, and this will be such an important part of our program, as is this beautiful picture. I hope you can see it. I hope trying to turn it toward you, maybe you can see it better like that. Okay, so going to pray with you, and we'll begin with the words of Saint Therese. We're going to do our opening prayer with her words. They're so beautiful. She says, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I am now at a time in my life when I can look back on my past, for my soul has been refined in the crucible of interior trials and the crucible of exterior sufferings. Now, like a flower after the storm, I can raise my head and see that the words of the psalm have been realized in me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall want for nothing. He set me down in green pastures. He converted my soul. And though I should walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord, we call upon Saint Therese today to walk with us, for we are now at a time in our lives when we can look upon our past. Our souls have experienced, as Therese, the crucible of interior trials, the crucible of exterior sufferings. And we long to be, as she said, a flower after the storm that raises its head and realizes that you, Jesus, have always been with us and always will be. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall want for nothing. You walk with us in green pastures. You refresh us with healing waters. You restore my soul. And even though we may feel we're too far gone from your healing love, Lord, not so. Not so. Though we walk in the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For you, Lord, are with us, and as with Saint Therese, you will never, never abandon us. Amen and amen. Well, I have a couple of phone numbers for you right now. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Now, we do have some prayer intentions here. And I always remind you, you are part of the communion of saints, okay? The saints in heaven, the triumphant, they're praying for us. They're praying for these intentions today. The holy souls in purgatory, they're praying for us. They're praying for these intentions today. And you are the church militant. And in the past, you've prayed for these intentions, and we've had some beautiful results. And I know you're going to pray for them today. This is just so beautiful. So, as I said, I'm going to share with you, before we begin, I'm going to share with you how I got this first-class relic of Saint Therese. It's a beautiful story. Many years ago, when I was a child, I was a child once, my parents had three girls, Dolores, Rita, and myself, Grace, and Mom had given birth to our baby brother, Michael. Mom was home after that, but she started hemorrhaging, and she was taken to the hospital. Well, one of the priests in our parish, Father John, the parish was the Annunciation in South Philadelphia, he went to minister to her, and he prayed with her with his relic, this relic of Saint Therese, first-class relic of her bone. Of course, we kids at home, we were very concerned. I could still hear my dad all those years ago as they left to go to the hospital. My aunt was going to be babysitting for us. My dad said, pray for your mom. Pray for your mom. Well, I got a little nervous with that as a child. I was afraid. I thought, this is serious. Whatever's going on here is serious. Would my mom come home? Well, thankfully, my mother was healed. And she thanked Father John. She was so grateful that he went to the hospital to pray with her with this beautiful relic. And she was giving it back to him to use for others. And he said, no, Mary, you keep this. And she put it in a brand new baby sock, you know, the little baby socks, a brand new one, so it'll be easy for her to pin to herself and take it off when needed. And I thought to myself, how apropos. We're talking about Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, and my mom puts it in a baby sock. That was so perfect. So now, many years later, I was part of the Charismatic Renewal. And, of course, in the renewal, you know, we lay hands on people to pray for them, and they lay hands on us to pray. And it happened to be the day after New Year's, January 2nd. I don't remember the year, but it was It was January 2nd, and I know because the day before January 1st, we always have the party in our home. We have all this food, all this Italian food and everything, and we have family, friends come over, and the parade is right on the corner. The Mummers Parade's right there, so we have a big crowd. But then January 2nd, everybody's gone, and it's very, very quiet. So my mom came up to me, and she said to me, knowing that I would, you know, occasionally pray for people, she said to me, could you use this? And I looked in her hand. I looked, and I picked it up, and I looked at the relic. The print is so tiny in there, and it said Saint Therese L'Enfant, French, child, the word for child in French is l'enfant, and it was written in there, and I said, this is Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. This is wonderful. Yes, Mom, I can use it. What a blessing this is. Well, about a week later, I was looking through the chronology of Saint Therese, different dates in her life that meant something, and at the very top of the list was the date of her birthday. The year was 1873, the day, January 2nd, the day after New Year's, the very day my mother gave me this relic of Saint Therese. How exciting is that? What a beautiful connection. And because I was going to be praying through her intercession today for all of these intentions, I said to myself, I'm going in with it. I'm going to show it to the listeners, the viewers. The power is going to go forth. And I'm so thrilled to be able to do this. So we're going to put it here. Power will go forth. Amen and amen. Okay. So let's look at some of these. We have prayer intentions right here. We're going to look here. The first one I'm going to mention is this one is a good news one, and we're going to look toward that. The name is Jennifer. Last November, we had a prayer intention for Jennifer. She's a lovely young woman. She was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. She was going to be having surgery. And for, I guess, about a year now, she was under a doctor's care and testing. And she just recently completed a series of testing. And she called my brother. He had given us her intention originally. And she was thrilled to tell him that she just got the news that the markers indicated no cancer was found. And she wanted him to thank all of us who prayed for her. She wanted to thank him for bringing her intention to us. And I remembered at the time when we prayed for Jennifer, we prayed that the angels fill the operating room with peace. We prayed that the hands of the doctor be the hands of Jesus. And we prayed that the cancer be removed from anything around the surrounding area, because they were worried about that too. She was completely cleansed. And we will continue to pray for you, Jennifer. And we're so pleased you got your answer to prayer, and we thank the good Lord for that. And the communion of saints, brothers and sisters who are listening, who prayed for Jennifer, thank you. And we will continue to follow up. We will continue to pray for you, Jennifer. Thank you for calling us and letting us know that good news. It's a beautiful way to start off our program today. And again, we're even going to even include Saint Therese. She went through so much in life. We'll see if we can get to some of that. We'll see. If we don't, we'll just do another program. That's all. But oh, she went through a lot. What a beautiful soul. She's going to pray for you. Okay, we're going to have another intention here. It's a young man. His name is Michael. He's in his senior year, and he's a recluse. He has a 4-year scholarship, but he's despairing from COVID. He has the long COVID that can really pull you down. And I know, man, that terrible illness still hangs around, doesn't it? And I know it can pull you down, because my dear niece Michelle went through the long COVID. For a long time, she went through that. And Michael apparently has had it for a while. So we're interceding to Saint Therese, Michael. When Therese was young, like you, she suffered from a repeated illness. At times it seemed like it went away and it was back. And she was bedridden. And she was healed through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So we go to Saint Therese to pray for your healing. We're praying for you with this relic of Saint Therese, holding it toward you. And if you're listening, Michael, speak to Therese. Talk to her. Tell her what you want from her. Ask her to pray that you be healed so that you can move on with that scholarship. You have a wonderful gift waiting for you, Michael. You're going to do well. That gift, that scholarship, you're going to do well, Michael. And we're eventually going to hear that that COVID disappeared too. And you know what? Therese was healed through the smile of the Blessed Mother. And we're going to ask Therese to ask the Blessed Mother to smile on you, Michael. To smile on you today. God bless you, Michael. We have another one here. This is so difficult. Daniel tried for 15 years to have a child. And she did. She had her baby. She was home for 2 days with her new baby. And Danielle had a massive stroke. She was not able to speak. She was not able to walk. Her speech was taken away. I cannot even imagine, Danielle, going through anything like that. Your voice, when you're with a little baby, a newborn, your voice is such a gift, relating to the baby with the cooing sounds and the speaking and so on. Saint Therese, you lost your mother at the age of 4. It was traumatic for you. It stayed with you a long, long time. So we pray now, Therese, that you intercede for Danielle, that our Lord and Savior heal her, for a total healing of Danielle. We pray through our Blessed Lady also for what she went through when she lost her mother. So you're going to have a lot of prayer power going for you, Danielle. Even our communion of saints are praying for you right now. I know it. I can feel it. This is wonderful. Wonderful. God bless you, Danielle. We're all thinking of you. We will continue to pray for you. I have an intention here now. This is personal. Sometimes I can't get through personal intentions. This is personal to me. My dearest friend, my best friend, Janet, who worked with me in my music industry, my music ministry, for many years, for almost 48 years. Some of you may remember her. Whenever I would give a concert, she would be there selling the CDs, talking to the people. They loved her. Well, Janet went home just about 10 days ago. And her funeral was just last week or so. Janet suffered with dementia and Alzheimer's for 7 very difficult years. She had a heart of gold. Everyone who speaks of Janet speaks of her laughter, her wonderful smile, and her huge heart. It's a tremendous loss. Nothing was too great for Janet to do for anyone. And what a tribute to her that the number of family and friends who attended her Mass of the Resurrection. You know, when someone has dementia, Alzheimer's for 7 years or longer, you don't get many friends because people don't know how to handle that with you. And I was amazed that at the funeral, a lot of those 7 people 7 years earlier had been younger, especially the children, were now 7 years older. They were there. They were at her funeral. Touched me. They loved her. Janet loved Saint Joseph. And during these difficult years, I gave her a medal of Saint Joseph holding the baby Jesus. She loved it. And she wore that medal to the kingdom. I know she was anxious for Saint Joseph to see it. She was anxious to show it to him. So we ask you, Janet, to pray for us. I know where you are. And we ask you to pray for anyone out there who's suffering from dementia, Alzheimer's, any kind of emotional problem. I thank you for everything you did for me. We pray for anyone with anything like that. Even Saint Therese went through a depression, an emotional problem. We ask you to pray for those people while you're up there in the kingdom. Pray for us as we pray for you. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, Rest in peace. Amen. And amen. Amen. We continue to pray for Landon. Little Landon, he was 3 years old when he had cancer. He completed his year of chemo and radiation, and we were so happy for him. We were praising the Lord. We were so happy for him. Well, he's now 4. His cancer came back. He's now on chemo once a week. And he started kindergarten, and he loves it. He is so excited about kindergarten. Now, when we prayed for him, when we prayed for Landon, we prayed through the Infinite Prague for him. And we're now going to continue with this relic of St. Therese, the Child Jesus. She loved the Infant of Prague. And the National Shrine of the Infant of Prague is in the National Shrine of St. Therese in Darien, Illinois. So, Landon, we're going to get them working together, the Infant of Prague and St. Therese. And we're also going to pray for Landon's grandmother, Angela. She completed her treatments for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which, again, was a repeat. So we pray for them through the intercession of St. Therese. God bless you. God bless all of you, and we pray. We continue to pray for all of you out there with these who have these conditions, these problems in, that you're dealing with. We pray for Mark Paul. We prayed for Mark in the past. Mark Paul had prostate cancer and a tumor on the pancreas, and he was going to have surgery. He had his surgery. He suffered a massive internal bleed. The doctors were unable to stop it, and Mark passed. He did not regain consciousness. So we extend our condolences to his wife, Joyce, and his family who were at his bedside. And Joyce said he passed peacefully. And she said Mark Paul is with her. And we believe that, don't we? That is part of our faith experience. We believe that the deceased are with us. Mother Angelica, we said, and even the theologians, they have work to do up there. Part of their work is to watch over their family on earth. So those of you who have lost anyone, part of their work in heaven is to watch you, watch over you on earth. So we pray for Mark Paul and his family. We pray for you. Excuse me. We prayed for Luke. Luke was the nephew of Sherry, who passed the multiple myeloma, and a terrible tragedy happened to Luke. If you recall, he lived in Detroit with his wife, Haley. They just had newborn twins, 2 months old they were. And this story was carried in Detroit papers, in the Pennsylvania papers. A woman, out of her mind with drugs and alcohol, intentionally crashed her car into parked cars and homes in a very quiet neighborhood. Well, Luke and his wife, they were standing outside in the driveway. They were going out for dinner, their first dinner after the birth of the children who were being watched by a babysitter. This woman recklessly smashed into Luke, went around again, smashed into him again, pinned him under his car. Firefighters had to remove him. Luke lost his left leg. It had to be amputated. And his right leg, he broke his foot and ankle, also suffered many internal injuries. Luke is only 32 years old, with twins now 3 months old. So precious they are. This woman, the update is, she was taken into custody. Sizable lawsuit against her, numerous charges. Intoxicated, causing serious bodily impairment, felonious assault, malicious destruction of property, and on and on. And Luke said this. He's trying to manage his new reality with his 3-month-old twins. His wife is phenomenal, he said. She's doing everything for him he could possibly imagine. And he said, it took me a long time to get my head all together. And now that it is, I realize that being mad or being frustrated has never done me any good in the past, and it's not going to do me any good now. Can you imagine how beautiful he has accepted this tragedy that affected his whole life? Lord, what a wonderful person he is. And we pray that those physical ailments heal and that his family become a witness to the Lord's divine mercy. Divine mercy. Therese, you lost two brothers and two sisters young. You know the pain in a family when tragedy hits. So we pray for you, Luke, and we thank you for the beautiful peace that you've given us with your beautiful comments. So wonderful. Some very difficult prayer intentions. As you can see, we have one here. And this is our engineer there, our engineer, Patrick. The nephew of his best friend, the son of his best friend, was in a motorcycle accident. As a result of that accident, he's not walking. He's needed continuous surgeries and life-saving surgery. And he has traumatic spinal cord injury, vertebrae fractures, broken right clavicle, 11 broken ribs, 11. He's had spinal fusion surgery, and he has a long road ahead of him. His name is John Bryson, and they have a GoFundMe.com for him. GoFundMe, in the name of Brittany Bryson. So, this is just so painful, this young man going through all of this. And you know, I take this, how many bones has he broken? Just the ribs alone, 11. This is a tiny bone of Saint Therese. And Lord, I use this to intercede through the intercession of Therese, one tiny bone out of all the bones this poor man is dealing with. We're believing that you are going to get a beautiful healing, John. And our condolences really go out to our engineer here, Patrick, who loves this family, and he's very close to them. So, Patrick, we are with you. We are with you for all of that. God bless you. God bless you. My, we do have these prayer intentions, you know, and we're going to come back. We're going to take a break now, and then we're going to look into the spirituality of Saint Therese, and we have something special coming up when we do that. Okay, so hang in there. Don't go away. More coming. God bless you.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to Inner Sign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610 527 2906, or on the web at inhissign.com.
Let us look at the spirituality of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. What makes her so different? Why is she so popular all over the world? Everyone loves her. What makes her way so desirable? She is a young woman, and when she was a child, her spirituality started developing in her childhood. And she so simply and unashamedly teaches us how she loved God and how God loved her. Her way of spirituality is called the little way. The little way. Doing the little things as best she could for the honor and glory of God. The little way. No frills. No desire for greatness. No desire for those difficult mortifications. So simple, so appealing. Something we can all do to find God in our lives. Pope Pius X, as I said, called her the greatest saint of modern times. Greatness for one who chose littleness. Now I find this special. She said the smallest actions done for God's love are those which charm his heart. Charm his heart. Can you imagine that you and I can actually charm the heart of Jesus Christ? Think of your own life. You say, not me. I bet at times you don't see yourself that way. You may feel very weak, you don't fit in, you don't belong, you feel small. Let's face it, as we get older, we can't do the things we used to do. You may feel not needed, unimportant, insecure, unlovable, rejected. Well, certainly I'm not favored by God. Well, listen to what Saint Therese says about you and about your littleness. Dear Jesus, how I wish I could tell all the souls that are conscious of their own littleness how great your condescension is, how great you stoop down to them. Saint Therese is saying that God stoops down to us. Psalm 18 in Scripture says, "You, Lord, stoop down to make me great." Can you imagine that God actually stoops down to lift us up in our littleness? To make us great in his eyes? Not my words. They're not my words. They're the words of Scripture and of Therese. She spoke them. She used them. She lived them the little way. Now, Saint Therese wants to tell everybody this, and that's you and me. She says, "But why, Lord, do I want to tell others about the secrets of your love? You alone, Lord, have taught them to me. And surely you yourself will reveal them to others as well. I know you can, Lord, and I implore you to do it." Therese really goes to bat for us, doesn't she? She's basically saying, "Show them, Lord, what you showed me." She is saying our littleness is the very thing that makes us lovable to our God. The very thing we want to shun. The very thing that we want to hide makes us lovable to our God. God does not want prideful or puffed up souls. He can't use people who have their own agenda. You've been around people who had their own agenda. You try to get a word in edgewise. You try to get a word in, they have it all together. No, it's their way or the highway, huh? Well, God can't use people like that. No, he can't. So, the fact that you look at yourself maybe as being little is beautiful to our Lord and Savior. So start looking at yourself differently. Now let's look at this child's life. Let's go back to really see where she came from. Her parents, Louis and Zélie Marthe. Don't be fooled by that pronunciation. Marthe is Martin. Her last name was Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N. But she was from France. And they pronounce it Martha. I hope I'm saying it right. I had 2 years of French in high school. That was a long time ago. So anyway, Louis, her dad, was a watchmaker. Very gifted. Her mother, Zélie. Zélie made that beautiful Alençon lace. I now know I have the attention of all you females out there. That French lace, that beautiful Alarcon lace. And do you know, to make 1 inch of that lace took 7 hours. 7 hours. What a gift Zali had. Now, before they met, these two, before they met, he wanted to be an Augustinian priest, and she wanted to be a sister of St. Vincent de Paul. But the Lord had other plans. So where did they meet? They met walking over a bridge over the river Sarthe. And Zélie admits she was struck by Louis. She was struck by him. She heard an inner voice say, "This is he whom I have prepared for you." They were married 3 months later. Was that special? That was quite a bridge. They were both very religious. They attended Mass daily and very charitable. They had 9 children. They consecrated them to God. 4 of them, sadly, 2 little boys and 2 little girls, died in infancy. And you know, my friends, you know, back in those other centuries, infant mortality was very common. But the remaining 5 girls entered the religious life. Thérèse was the youngest of the 9 children. And as a baby, her mother said of her that she was full of life. She giggled a lot. Sheer joy, pretty and affectionate. Her mother said she was also mischievous, stubborn, and could have a tantrum. No, not our Thérèse. But let's face it, she was a child. You parents know that, huh? She was very intelligent. She remembered everything. And on Sunday when they went to Mass, she loved to go for walks with her mom and dad in the beautiful gardens with the flowers. And when she was tired, her dad carried her home. She went home to her spaniel. She had a spaniel who had an unusual name. The name of her dog was Tom. Well, let's face it, he was a member of the family. Her dad loved to go fishing. She loved to go with him. Thérèse knew how to fish. Well, again, the sad part of the lives. Sadly, Thérèse was only 4 years old when her mother, Zélie, died of breast cancer. And this was traumatic for Thérèse. She used to call her mother Mummy, and she said this: "The moment Mummy died, my happy disposition changed completely. I had been lively and cheerful, but I became timid, quiet, and a bundle of nerves. A glance was enough to make me burst into tears." And Thérèse would carry that loss in her heart for a long time. So she turned to her oldest sister, Pauline, to be that mother figure to her. Now, every afternoon, Thérèse and her dad would visit the Blessed Sacrament. He belonged to the Association for the Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. So, my friends, you could see right here the seeds of a deep spirituality being planted with this young child going to adoration daily, daily. Paulina Marie entered the Carmelite monastery, and her sister Leonie became a sister of the Visitation. Well, Thérèse wanted to follow in their footsteps, but she was only 9. She did have a vocation, even at that age, but it was very painful for her when the prioress of the order would not let her enter because of her young age. Well, 6 years went by, she was finally allowed to enter the Carmelites at the age of 15. And her sister Céline, after the death of their father, Céline would follow. She would enter also. Now, Thérèse, the prioress of the Carmelite order, wrote this about Thérèse. She said she was a welcome addition to the monastery. She was a mystic. She was a comedienne. Could you see those two, mystic and comedian? I could. She made you shed tears of devotion, easily made you split your sides with laughter. She wrote poetry, prose, sang in the choir. She wrote songs. A woman after my own heart. Do you remember my last program? I spoke about the 17-year-old venerable Monsi Grasses. She played the guitar. She had her classmates come to her house and they would sing. So many of these saints had musical gifts. She wrote plays. She performed as Joan of Arc in a play. And she was an artist. Oh, multi-talented. But she did everything out of the depths of her great love for God. Not for her own glory, not for people say, oh, you're so wonderful. No, she did it for the glory of God. That was her littleness. That was her little way. That was her little way. Now, she said she would spend her heaven doing good on earth, and we know that feeling, don't we? She would shower roses when people went to her in prayer, and she would, this is the prayer we would pray to her. O little Teresa, the child Jesus, please pick for me a rose from the heavenly garden and send it to me as a message of your love. O little flower of Jesus, ask God to grant the favors I now place with confidence in your hands. Therese was true to her promise. Shortly after her death, many people around the earth reported cures and miracles and attributed them to her intercession. And yes, she would send you roses. You would either, I'm sure you people experienced this when you prayed to her. You would either get a real rose or a picture of a rose. You would get a rose somehow when she answered your prayers. Now, Therese had a great love for the Blessed Mother. Great love. When she was 10 years old, she fell ill for long periods of time. On and off she would feel ill, fall ill, and at times it appeared she would not recover, where her father was very concerned. So he gave her sister Marie some coins, and he said, go to Paris, go to the Church of Our Lady of Victories, and have a novena said for Therese for her healing. So Therese took the coins, she went to the Church of Our Lady of Victories, and she had a novena said. Now, while that novena was being prayed, Therese was bedridden, and next to her bed was the miraculous statue of the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Victories. All of a sudden, Therese said, the Blessed Virgin glowed with a beauty beyond anything I had ever seen. She said it was the enchanting smile on the statue that brought joyful tears to my eyes, and I cried out, oh, how happy I am. The Blessed Virgin smiled at me. All my pain is gone. And her sister Marie said, Therese was in ecstasy for 4 to 5 minutes. Therese was cured, and all rejoiced. I'd like to read for you the very last poem Therese wrote. It is called Why I Love You, Mary. O you who came to smile on me at the dawn of life's beginning, come once again to smile on me, Mother, the night is nigh. I fear no more your majesty so far removed above me, for I have suffered much with you. Now hear me, Mother, mild. Oh, let me tell you face to face, dear Mary, how I love you, and say to you forevermore, I am your little child. Oh, you who came to smile on me at the dawn of life's beginning. Therese never forgot Mary's smile, and she refers to it in that poem at the beginning of her life at the age of 10, and again when the night was closing in on her. I'd like to sing a beautiful hymn for you. Patrick, our engineer, is going to put on the CD. It's a beautiful hymn that points to Mary's smile, and it is called, It Is Your Smile That Is Most Beautiful.
It is your smile that is most beautiful. It is your smile that is most beautiful. No, it's your eyes that are most beautiful. It is your is how
My friends, for someone who lived such a short life in obscurity, her little way affected millions of people around the globe. She was canonized a saint by Pope Pius XI, and what is even more remarkable, in 1997, our beloved Pope St. John Paul II declared Thérèse a doctor of the Church. Only three other women have received that title: St. Catherine of Siena, St. Hildegard of Bingen, and St. Thérèse, St. Teresa of Avila. Our Thérèse is the youngest, male or female, to receive that title, a doctor of the Church for her little way. The more I learned about her, the more I loved her. And what we don't hear about her so readily is the tremendous suffering, the physical and emotional suffering that Thérèse endured. She came down with a dreaded disease, tuberculosis. There was no treatment for it in the 1800s. And Thérèse herself said this: "I have suffered very much here below. You must make it known to souls." So with her words in mind, I will try to put this together. I'll speak of her suffering, because it only further teaches us that in the end, nothing could separate her from the love of her God. Shortly after her 23rd birthday, her final agony was to begin. It was Good Friday that she had her first hemorrhage, the first sign of tuberculosis. It ravaged her body. For 29 days continuously, she coughed up blood, burning fevers, vomiting. She perspired profusely to the point of dehydration. She endured severe indigestion and violent pains, and she couldn't raise her hand to her mouth. She was emaciated. Her greatest suffering were her periods of suffocation, and on the last day that she walked, she had to sit down every step of her stairs to get back to her room. She had to take a breath after each word that she spoke. And Thérèse would say, "People do not know what it is to suffer like this. No, they would have to experience it." my friends, through all that Therese endured, she never lost her sense of humor. The sisters said Therese was concerned about them. She didn't want them to worry. She wanted to put them at ease, so she would say things to make them smile. That in itself is a selfless act of love. And when the time came to meet her God, the sisters knelt at her bedside as Therese spoke her final words. There was the statue of Mary, and she was looking above the statue. She had the crucifix in her arms, and she was looking up, saying, "Oh, I love him. My God, I love you." Was she seeing the Lord at that moment? Possibly so. That's all in the documents that were sent to the Vatican for her canonization. No one could really say whether she saw it. I want to say I think she did. She's looking above the statue when she's saying, "My God, I love you." I'd like to think she did. I think you would like to think that too. I think she did. So what a life she had. Her sisters knew in their hearts that Therese was a saint. And the prioress of the order asked her 1.5 years before she died to write down the story of her life. She did it with difficulty, and the book is called The Story of a Soul, and I know many of you out there have that book, The Story of a Soul. I'm going to try to reach back here. The Story of a Soul, it's a spiritual treasure. There it is. It's a spiritual treasure, and Therese opens up her heart and soul and speaks candidly about her life. It came out during the First World War. She wasn't even canonized yet. And the soldiers on both sides carried it with them, the story of a soul. The German soldiers carried it. The Allies, the American soldiers carried her book. I also recommend to you this is something. This is called The Passion of Teresa of Lisieux. The Passion. And that goes into a lot of those documents that I just shared her pain with. It is just unbelievable. It was written by Bishop Guy Gaucher, who was the bishop of Lisieux, where her monastery was. He was the bishop when he wrote the book. The introduction to the book is by Benedict Rochelle, another one of our favorites. He passed, but you can still see him on Monday mornings on EWTN. He's wonderful, his wisdom and spiritual depth. Does he tell it like it is, out of his love? The Passion of Therese of Lisieux. I mean, it has her words, it has the words of the doctors, the words of the sisters in the monastery, the words of the technicians. Therese herself says things near of her suffering. But she never surrendered that love of her God. She never, never surrendered it. So powerful. Her vocation was love. After being in the convent, 8 years, she discovered her vocation. It was love. Love, to do everything with love. That was her vocation. That was the word, love. And it's just so wonderful when you read some of the comments in that book. You know, in that book, The Passion of Lisieux, I want to tell you, there's even a question as to whether she was misdiagnosed. That is difficult to read. But you just know in your heart the Lord was calling this soul home. Because she said when she got to heaven, that's when she was going to do good on earth. And you people out there have experienced her. I know it. I know you have felt her prayers. You have had prayers answered through her. She's up there and she's working. She's working for us. The Lord wanted her up there. And I believe whether she was misdiagnosed or not, the Lord wanted her with him. She is a powerhouse. Everybody knows Therese. And you know what's so beautiful? Kathleen McCarthy, the head of this station, just came back from Normandy. She went to those beaches of Normandy. She said it was so unbelievably painful. And then the one thing she wanted to do, she wanted them to get her to the Basilica, the monastery that Therese spent her sisterhood in. And she got there. Kathleen McCarthy got me a little bit jealous, I say. How wonderful to go where she spent her sisterhood and where she died. The monastery in Lisieux, the city of Lisieux in France. This is just all so wonderful. So, so wonderful. This, in closing, I'd like to quote Teresa's sister, Marie of the Sacred Heart. And before I do, we haven't even scratched the surface of all that is contained in the heart of this woman of God. I hope, for those of you who don't know her, I hope we have awakened a desire in your heart to come to know more about her by reading some of the many books. There are many out there, not only these two. There are many out there written about her. And the promise I make to you is this. As you come to know her, you will grow to love her and feel a kinship with her. You will know that you have a sister praying for you in heaven. You will know. Now, in closing, I'd like to quote Teresa's sister, Marie of the Sacred Heart. She was also in that convent. She was also a Carmelite sister. And this is what she said of Therese. She was looking at her, walking, and she said, "How often, when I saw Therese walking through the cloister, I said to myself, think of it. That it will never be known here below how much that soul loves the good Lord." Well, Marie was wrong. The entire world now knows how much Therese loved the good Lord and his little ones. But Marie's words reflect her reverence for Therese, and her reflection captures Therese's spirituality, humility, littleness, and a profound love of God. I am so delighted to have been able to share some of this today with you. There's so much more that there's no way you could cover in an hour. In fact, I said, maybe we should do it again, do another one. You know, and it's possibly in the future we can, because there is so much to say about this wonderful gift, and the roses, if you pray to her, look for it, whether it's a real rose that comes to you, whether it's a paper rose that you'll see in a magazine, or even sometimes you're driving in a car, maybe the tags in front of you have a rose on it. I saw that one time. The tags had a beautiful rose on it. I said, "Therese, I just prayed to her, Therese, there's the rose," you know. So we're not, believe me, she's gonna do that. That's her way of letting you know she heard your prayer, she's listening, and she's gonna answer you. That is so, so wonderful. So I hope I encourage you to keep going to her. We love her to pieces. And to think she was a mystic and a comedian. Picture that. Who do you know in this world out there who's a mystic and a comedian? She made them laugh. She made them laugh. They loved her. It was tough for them to see her go. She was in the convent with her other sisters, and then the other sister kept in touch with them because she belonged to a different order. But this is wonderful. I love you. I thank you for being with me today. I thank you for paying attention to everything. I want to keep going. I want to say a lot more, but all those intentions we prayed for, pray for them. Continue to pray for them. And again, for all of you, I lift up this relic, the bone of the little flower, and I pray that she just reaches out from heaven and we hear some healings today. God bless you and keep you. Be at peace.